The views expressed and the opinions given by the individual hosts and their guests do not necessarily express those of KCNR Radio and its sponsors. All shows are independently owned and broadcast for entertainment purposes only. Readers and listeners are advised that neither KCNR Radio nor its owners and agents shall be held liable for the content of this program.
Hello, my darlings, and welcome back to Radio Wasteland, your favorite paranormal show. And I am your host, Chauncey. Normally I have my sidekick here, Sean, but he has claimed to have Lyme disease. I am not entirely sure if he really has Lyme disease or if this was just the most whacked out thing his feverish brain could come up with, because a couple weeks ago I was talking about being sick and that some sort of illness resembling food poisoning was going around. So I'm guessing that this is what he has, but I don't know. Maybe he has Lyme disease. I don't know. So filling in for Sean tonight is our producer, Jared.
Well, hello.
Hello, Jared. And Jared, I see you got your ears lowered.
I'm not sure what that means.
It means you got a haircut.
Ah, yes, I did. I used to have very long hair, and now I have very short hair.
Now you're all pretty.
I know, right?
Totally. Is it so that you can get some ladies?
That might have something to do with it.
It tends to be, you know. Frankly, if we lived in a world without the possibility of dating, I would probably just be a totally just disgusting human being. So marriage for the past 14 years has done a lot for my cleanliness routine, I guess. So I had an interesting weekend. This weekend I went to the Sikh Festival in Anderson. For those of you who don't know, we come out of Redding, California. We're on a station, KCNR, AM 1460. And just south of Redding, there's a town called Anderson, and it's a small town, pretty much a farming town. And they have a remarkably large, for being a population of, I want to say about 10,000, they have a remarkably large Sikh population, which is very odd for here in Northern California. A lot of people think of California, and they think of very progressive, very packed, you know, very diverse. But Redding is definitely not hugely populated. And so, you know, to have a large Sikh population in a town like Anderson is really interesting. And so going to this thing was really interesting. You know, they're there, and, you know, they're trying to share that they're all about nonviolence and stuff like that. And it was really impressive that the town all turns out, and they're giving away free outfits for the ladies. My wife got a cool Sikh dress, and they were giving away turbans for the men, wrapping them up in turbans. And the only reason why I didn't do it is because I hate hats, and I felt it would be horribly rude of me to pull that thing off my head in a fit of rage after 5 minutes. And so the interesting part that pertains to this show is that I'm walking out, and parked right at the front is this woman with a bunch of signs about geoengineering and chemtrails and all this stuff. And I think, oh, well, that's interesting. That's going on here locally. You know, I should get some contact information. And I go up there and I'm just all, hey, do you have any contact information that I can take with me? And she's all, oh, yeah, here, you know, and why do you want it? And I'm just all, well, I have a show here locally. And she's just all, I know. And I'm just all, you know? And she's just all, yeah, what's your name again? And I say Chauncey, and she says, Chauncey, yeah, I listen to your show every Monday. And she said, you just had on Matt Landman, which we did, talking about geoengineering. And her name was Lori. And So if Lori, if you're out there, if you're listening, well then, thanks for listening. And I remember meeting you in the parking lot at the Seat Festival in Anderson. Aside from that, my flavorful apocalypse is coming along quite nicely. I harvested my parsley. So for those of you who don't know, I'm like trying to slowly train myself to be a doomsday prepper, but I also like work constantly and like have next to no free time. So it's like I grew an herb garden, and I keep getting made fun of that the apocalypse is going to be very flavorful. So on Mother's Day, I trimmed down my parsley plant and made a bunch of pesto and made pasta. And I'm really actually quite proud of myself because ever since my wife and I got married 14 years ago, every year I try to start a garden. And every year I make it about 3 weeks in until everything is just dried up and dead corpses. And really, this is my most successful year yet. I have some serious herbage going on. That might have sounded weird, but when I say serious herbage, I mean like mint and rosemary and stuff, you know. Nothing cool. Nothing for you to brag about how cool your radio show host is. So, I don't know. So, our guest tonight, it's been a regular topic for us here for a while. We've been hitting quite a few UFOs, but our guest tonight is definitely an expert in the UFO field. We have the truth seeker of Roswell, Dennis Balthazar. And so Dennis goes around and he gives tours of Roswell. And, man, I would love to do this. I was talking, I don't know, a couple shows back to William Pullen, one of our guests, and we were talking about Roswell, and they have a festival coming up in, I want to say, June, and I wanted to go see him, but, man, it's a 21-hour drive. That's like, you know, good gosh, 21 hours. That's a long drive, you know, and that's a lot of money. You know, I, like a lot of you, work all day. I work about the equivalent of two full-time jobs. So taking 21 hours off in order to drive and indulge myself in the middle of the desert for Roswell seems probably a little bit excessive. But you're listening to Radio Wasteland, and coming up next is the Truth Seeker of Roswell right here on Radio Wasteland. J'ai comme envie de tourner le gaz, comme envie de me faire sauter les plombs, comme envie de t'expliquer comme ça ton indifférence, elle ne me touche pas, je peux très bien me passer de toi, comme envie de sang sur les murs, comme envie d'accident de voiture, comme envie de t'expliquer comme ça ton indifférence, elle ne me touche pas, je peux très bien me passer de toi. J'ai comme envie de n'importe quoi, comme envie de crever ton chat, comme envie de tout casser chez toi, comme envie de t'expliquer comme ça, je peux très bien me passer de toi. J'ai comme envie d'une fin de torride, comme on n'en voit qu'au cinéma. J'ai comme envie que ce soit terrible et que ça te fasse juste en bas de chez toi, je peux très bien me comme envie de sang sur les murs, comme envie d'accident de voiture, comme envie.
It's Rodeo Week, and Free Fire Radio is putting on our cowboy boots and saddling up to ride the airwaves. Has the lone stranger and sidekick been unmasked yet? Has the loot been found? We'll keep you updated. Then at 8 a.m., our featured guest will be John Green, who wants to become the new sheriff in town. It will be your opportunity to find out what he would do different if elected. Your calls and comments welcome on the air or in the chat room at KCNR1460.com. Locally owned KCNR Free Fire Radio. Miss a day, miss a lot.
Some things in life you can just rely on, like the perfect fit of your favorite pair of jeans, the nap-inducing powers of your trusty recliner, and the tried and true performance of a new Rood home heating system. So here's to reliability, built into everything we do. Rely on Rood.
Get reliable comfort when the weather turns cold with a new heating system installed by the local pros at Alliance Heating and Air. Call Alliance today, 530-221-2642. At Alliance Heating and Air, everybody calls us.
May is First Responder Month, and KCNR 1460 joins with our community in a salute to law enforcement, fire, and medical personnel.
Hey, this is Kenny Breedlove at Market Street Steakhouse. On behalf of Wes and I want to personally thank all the first responders, including fire, police, and medical. All of us at Market Street Steakhouse appreciate all you do.
To those who run toward danger when the alarm sounds, a heartfelt thank you from your community and Free Fire Media.
What is happening in the state of Jefferson? Every week there's a new chapter. To find out, listen to the Jefferson State of Mind program, Sunday morning at 9 a.m. on KCNR 1460 a.m. with your hosts, Wynn Carpenter and Terry Raposa. To catch up on past broadcasts or to listen anytime, go to KCNR1460.com and click on the archives link.
The time has come for 51 in a Jefferson state of mind.
Are you looking to move on up to the east side? The east side of Reading has many, many things to offer, including the Palomar Experience. It's Highland Park in the beautiful east side of Reading. These high-quality luxury homes brought to you by Palomar Builders feature many luxury amenities, including green technology like radiant barrier roof sheathing, high-efficiency, quick-recovery gas water heaters, energy-efficient LED and fluorescent lighting, water-conserving toilets, faucets, and showerheads, and programmable irrigation systems. Exterior and interior features, including designer kitchens with granite slab countertops, stylish islands in some plans, and walk-in pantries with door. And the east side is close to shopping and to freeway access. To find Highland Park, just go north on Churn Creek, look for the signs to make a left on Bodenhammer, and you'll find the Palomar Experience. Highland Park, come see the model home. Contact Debbie Morgan from Coldwell Banker CNC Properties at 604-2127. For Palomar Builders, Highland Park.
Hey, hey, punk rock girl, go home to the studio. Nobody wants you hanging around. Go home to the studio. She don't care what they say. She could say she's interested. Nobody really in her way, no, no. Studio.
All right, welcome back to Radio Wasteland, and we are here with our guest, Dennis Balthazar. Am I saying that correctly?
That's right.
All right. Sounds great. And you are the truth seeker of Roswell. You know, we have a friend of the show, Dennis, who's, William Pullen, who's been on here, and he gave us a little quote about you, and he told me, I've always found Dennis to be an outstandingly honest researcher. Every time I run into him in Roswell, I thank him for his efforts. And thank you again, Dennis. It's like, that was a big deal for me because, William's been on the show several times, and I find him very sobering and likable and educated on the topic.
Well, I have a quote I use on my website for editorials and lectures. Always telling the truth means never having to remember anything.
Yeah, I guess that's true.
That served me pretty well.
Yeah, I try to apply that to my marriage.
Good luck.
let's start off by talking about Roswell a little bit, and how'd you get started? Everybody's got their own different stories about what really got them involved in this. How did you get started in this?
Well, back in the 80s, I'd lay in the backyard, look out in the night sky, and wonder what was out there. And then in the mid-80s, I started hearing a little bit about Roswell, and the first books came out in the mid-80s, and I bought another book, and today I probably have 400 or 500 books. And the more I read, the more I realized there's more to this Roswell incident than a weather balloon. And that kind of got me started. My background is civil engineering. I had 33 years with the Texas Highway Department doing QC, QA inspection for the state. So I've got a background that's fairly creditable. And then I retired in 1996, been retired 22 years. And I moved to Roswell to continue my engineering work and did that for about 6 months. And then I started volunteering at the UFO Museum. I was there every day, open and close the doors. And I did that for about 2.5 years. That's where I met some of the first-hand witnesses that were here in 47 and started working with Stanton Friedman, the original researcher on Roswell. Been working with Stanton for 21 years. And a couple of years ago, I was doing lectures and I was writing editorials and things like that. And about 4 years ago, I got hit by a guy in Oregon that does World War II tours to Europe. Heard about my research, wanted to know if I'd be interested in doing tours on Roswell because he had a lot of interest in it. So about 4 years ago, I started doing these tours thinking I'd do 2 or 3 a month. I wound up, I'm doing 2 a day, 5 days a week. And the rest is kind of history.
Well, I got to say, that doesn't sound like much of a retirement.
It's not. That keeps me active, though.
Yeah. So, you know, what is it about Roswell that, you know, because there are a lot of other sightings, a lot of other evidence out there, you know, sightings with lots of people, you know, Rendlesham Forest, there's lots of them out there. You know, what is it about Roswell that really has this staying power, this longevity?
Well,
that...
the thing about Roswell is they went public. All the other crashes you hear about, Rendlesham Forest, Brazil, Kingman, Arizona, Aztec, New Mexico, the oldest one I ever heard about was in Aurora, Texas in 1895. But they deny all those. The Roswell incident, they went public. And they made a big mistake by going public because 70 years later, they're still trying to explain it and lie about it. We've been given 4 excuses by the Air Force over the last 70 years. The first report was written by Walter Hart on the orders of the base commander at the base out here. And that said we had a flying saucer in our possession. The next day, General Ramey put out an article on the front page of all the newspapers saying it was nothing but a weather balloon. Now, if it was a weather balloon, why would it make all the newspapers? Because that is of no interest to the public. That's what pilots use to fly airplanes. They need weather balloons to get weather forecasts. And then in 1974, they came out with this excuse saying it was a Mogul balloon, which was a high-altitude balloon used to check to have the Russians check to see if they were doing nuclear testing. The Russians didn't do nuclear testing until 1949, 2 years later. In 1997, 2 weeks before the 50th anniversary, the Air Force came out with a thick report saying they had never mentioned the bodies the witnesses talked about, and they said the bodies were anthropomorphic crash test dummies. The dummies were introduced in 1953, 6 years later. So it's just been one excuse after another for the last 70 years.
And it seems like that last excuse was them accidentally kind of acknowledging that they had something to do with the flight. I mean, if they're saying that it's crash test dummies, they're saying that it was a crash.
If they're talking about bodies, weather balloons wouldn't have bodies.
Right, yeah.
So they had to change that story, and then they changed it to from the Mogul balloon to the bodies. And I happened to get one of those crash test dummies for the UFO Museum in 1997 from the Space Museum down at White Sands. I put him in my pickup truck, strapped him in, put a Dallas Cowboy hat on him, barred him up, and got a lot of strange looks driving up here. When I got to the museum, he weighs 170 pounds. He's got steel inside him. I got him hung up in the museum. He looks nothing like what the witnesses talked about.
So why do you think the confusion, you know, you're saying that they covered up all these other ones. Mm-hmm. Why do you think they accidentally, I assume accidentally, came out and said, hey, we got a flying saucer? What would compel somebody in a military position to go public like that?
That's an excellent question. We don't know if the orders to put that article out about having a crash flying saucer, We don't know where that came from. It came, could have come from Washington. It could have come from General Ramey at Carlsville Air Force Base in Fort Worth, who is in charge of Roswell. Or it could have come from Colonel Blanchard, who is the base commander here at the base. And by the way, the guys that were involved with this, I need to tell you who the military was. That was the 509th Bomb Group. That was the same guys that dropped the atomic bombs on Japan to end the Second World War. So it's kind of ironic that we would have the best military in the world here in Roswell when we had the UFO crash.
Mm-hmm. I guess that, so what is that, the Enola Gay? Is that the...
The Enola Gay was actually in Roswell after they dropped the bombs. I have a picture of the Enola Gay out here at the hangar, one of the hangars at the airport.
So from like a UFO conspiratorial angle, you know, the idea that aliens or flying saucers or some sort of super advanced tech would be flying around in that area is really not all that shocking.
Well, you got to stop and consider the atomic bomb was tested 100 miles from here at White Sands in 1945.
Mm-hmm.
So were they sitting out there looking in, wondering what are these clowns on Earth up to?
Yeah,
they may have been observing us. I don't think they're here to harm us in any way. They've had every opportunity and haven't done it. But I do think they're keeping an eye on us. Humans don't have a good track record. Ever since time began, we've been known as war people.
Oh, yes.
That's not a good record. So I think they're probably keeping an eye on us so that we don't self-destruct.
Yeah, I don't know the stats behind it, but I do know that quite a few researchers have said that the statistics of UFO sightings around nuclear test places and military bases are much, much higher.
They've been seen hovering over nuclear power plants in and out of the oceans. A couple of years ago, and again more recently, UFOs hovered over 9 nuclear missile silos in Malmstrom Air Force Base in Montana and shut down the missile system. And when they left, the system came back online. So I really believe they're keeping an eye on us. I don't think they want us in their neighborhood with nuclear weapons or the attitude we have.
Right, right. So have there been a lot of sightings in Roswell since then?
No. I belong to a couple of lists on the Internet, and there's probably not a week goes by that there's not somewhere between 25 and 75 sightings somewhere in the world.
Mm-hmm.
Now, by sightings, 90% of those are explainable.
Mm-hmm.
They're either our own stuff, or they're clouds, or they're planets, or balloons, whatever. It's the 10% we're interested in. But sightings, you have to be careful with, because... And now with the Internet, you can take pictures and redo them. You got to be really careful on how you look at this now.
Yeah, it seems like a lot of people are out there trying to trick people for viral marketing and for clicks and
definitely.
For money. And
sure.
You know, we had a guest on here, Ryan Sprague, and we were talking about, you know, making money from this UFO thing. And Ryan was basically making the point, like, if your goal is to make money, this is probably not your field.
Well, that's true. The first time in my 35 years of doing research, I'm making a little money by doing these tours, but I give people a lot of information about the town of Roswell, because there's a lot here that people don't know about in addition to the UFO event. We had a German prisoner of war camp here in the 1940s, 4,800 German prisoners.
Oh.
Most people know nothing about that. We got a couple statues from the Old West at downtown from Pat Garrett, who shot Billy the Kid, and John Chisholm, the biggest cattleman of all times. So I gave a lot of history about the town also.
Well, we're coming up on our first commercial break here. When we come back, I'd like to talk to you more about the tour and find out really what that entails.
Okay.
You're listening to The Truth Seeker of Roswell, Dennis Balthazar, here on Radio Wasteland. Come on back.
Yeah. Orchard Nutrition Center, we keep our produce pure by bathing our fruits and vegetables with water from our multi-stage purification system, leaving it fresh, clean, and crisp. Fresh from the farm to your family's table. Orchard Nutrition Center, Cypress Square Shopping Center, Reading.
There is only one real conservative in the race for governor, and that's businessman John Cox, not Sacramento politician Travis Allen. John Cox supports President Trump's plan to build a border wall, and John Cox opposes driver's licenses for illegal aliens. But Travis Allen refused to oppose driver's licenses for illegal aliens. And while conservative John Cox led the signature campaign to repeal the gas tax, Travis Allen is under investigation by the Ethics Commission for diverting money away from the gas tax repeal to run ads supporting himself. Travis Allen has even written campaign checks to Democrats Gavin Newsom, Barbara Boxer, and Jerry Brown against Republicans. It's all public record. Travis Allen's many donations to liberal Democrats and his refusal to vote against driver's licenses for illegal aliens. We need John Cox, a conservative who will support President Trump, build the wall, and end the sanctuary state. Republican John Cox for governor.
Paid for by John Cox for governor, 2018.
Yeah, he'll stop. I have the right-of-way. Or will he? Alan Gordon here, Coachmaster Collision Repair. Don't count on it. He or she might be texting, changing the station on the radio, or breaking up a fight in the back seat. Don't take that chance. Lives are at stake. Distracted driving is a danger to us all. You can be proactive in preventing an accident. There's not much you can do when you're sitting in your car and they back into your door. If this happens to you, come see us. We're located at the south end of Eastside Road just before Gervin. With your claim number, we can handle your entire claim process. Our quality repairs and friendly service will have you recommending Coachmaster to all your friends and family. And yes, if we can't fix it, no one can.
Coachmaster Collision Repair continues to be the leader in the North State for advanced technology in the collision repair industry, serving the Reading community since 1969. Learn more online at CoachmasterAutobody.com.
They are the greatest fighting force the world has ever seen. What does it take to honor our service personnel? What does it take to let them know how much we appreciate them? What does it take to let them know we stand behind them? It takes a force. A force that loves them and supports them. Saturday, May 19th is Armed Forces Day. On behalf of the Northern California Veterans Museum and Homeward Bound Military Family Support Services, we want to say thank you to our armed forces, to the men and women who wear the uniform, and thank you for our freedom.
Tobacco and Brew has been a sponsor here on KCNR 1460 since we started the station 8 years ago. A long-standing Reading tradition, Tobacco and Brew is locally owned, backs our veterans, and does so much more for this community. It's located at 2143 Hilltop Drive. Check out their new lines, new products, new briar pipes, and of course, the famous walk-in humidor. Come in and see the newly remodeled Tobacco and Brew. 2143 Hilltop Drive, open 7 days a week.
Hi, this is Sharon Clark, owner of Home Helpers. Join me at 9 a.m. every Wednesday for Generations Talk Radio, right here on KCNR 1460. Topics will include resources and businesses that you need to know about. We will talk money, travel, healthcare, and more. Embrace aging. Listen to Generations Talk Radio, Wednesdays at 9 a.m. here on KCNR 1460. Archive shows at generationstalkradio.com.
At Orchard Nutrition Center, we strive to be the gatekeepers of 100% organically grown produce. Our goal is to provide you and your family with produce that is fresh from the farm and pure 100% organically grown. Orchard Nutrition Center, Cypress Square Shopping Center, Reading.
All right, welcome back to Radio Wasteland and our guest, the true seeker of Roswell, Dennis Balthaser. So, Dennis, you know, I find the idea of the tour of Roswell to be just like great fun. I would love to do this. So, you know, what does this tour entail?
Well, you go to the website, www.roswellufotours.com. That's all the information you need. One of the links is an availability calendar, and since I'm doing 2 a day, 5 days a week, people book way in advance. I've already started booking into November. I have a lot of dates open, but that's as far ahead that I'm booking right now.
How many people are on each tour?
Four on the tour. I don't like buses. People are sleeping or talking, and I can't get them in the residential area, so I limit it to four people personally so I can do personal tours. If people have questions, I can answer them.
Mm-hmm.
I give them plenty of time to take pictures or ask questions. And there's about 20 different locations that we cover. The tour lasts about 2 to 2.5 hours, depending how many questions they have and pictures they take. But most people, I've been on TripAdvisor, something like 204 excellent reviews on TripAdvisor, which has really been humbling for me that the people are really enjoy it that much.
Well, my day job is internet marketing, and I got to tell you, that amount of good reviews on TripAdvisor is nothing to scoff at.
We have several museums in town for a little time. We have 4 or 5 museums. We go by each one of them. I hand out brochures for each of the museums so they can go by after the tour or before. I go by the Roswell Daily Record newspaper, which broke the story. Robert Goddard was the pioneer of rockets. He was here in Roswell in the 1930s as a museum with his workshop recreated. German prisoners of war were here in the 1940s. They built an iron cross out of rock. And I show that and talk about how that developed. Go through the historical district of Roswell, show them some of the older houses that were here in the early 1900s. Several of the statues downtown, John Chisholm, the Chisholm Trail, big cattleman, and Pat Garrett that supposedly shot Billy the Kid. Go by former Sheriff Wilcox's office in county jail where the rancher came when he found the debris and got the military involved. Ballard Funeral Home is where the mortician Glenn Dennis worked in 1947 and was contacted by the military hospital asking for hermetically sealed children's coffins. We go out to the base. They go by Commander Colonel Blanchard's home, who was the base commander and head of the atomic bomb group, the Army Airfield Fire Station, the Flight Operations Building, where some of the debris was loaded on airplanes by one of the witnesses I talked to. Hangar 84 is still there, as are several other hangars, and 84 is the one where they kept the bodies for a short time before most of it was shipped out to Wright-Patterson Air Force Base. And then the Chaffetz County Administration Center, which was the former St. Mary's Hospital, where two Catholic nuns saw something from the upstairs window one night and believed it was an airplane on fire. But the thing about the tours is the fact that I knew some of these witnesses that were here in 1947. I had long conversations with several of them, so I've got insight that you don't get by reading a book or going to the museum and reading an affidavit or a testimony. I actually knew these guys.
Right.
I had long conversations with them. So it's a well-rounded tour, not only including the UFO event, but a lot of the history of Roswell itself.
Out of curiosity, about how big is Roswell?
Close to 50,000.
Oh, that's
we're right at 50,000.
That's a lot bigger than I was thinking, actually.
And we're 200 miles from anywhere. We're
right.
200 miles from Albuquerque, El Paso. Lubbock, Texas is about 170 miles, so we're out here in the middle of nowhere.
Yeah, it's crazy to find a population that large autonomously.
It's an amazing town, really, when you get to looking around, and like on the tour when I show people, we have the world's largest cheese factory.
Really?
We're known as the dairy capital of southeast New Mexico.
Hmm.
These dairies here can milk between 2,100 and 5,000 cows a day. The cheese factory gets about 1 million gallons of milk a day. They produce 800,000 pounds of mozzarella cheese every day. I mean, these are the kind of things that people don't know about in this little town.
Right. I really want to visit there. So, you know, some of these things that you're saying, how many of them, you know, I realize that a lot of them are coming from witnesses who are mm-hmm. conveying it, but how much of this is able to be proven through paperwork? Like you brought up an interesting one, the request for children's coffins. What was up with that?
Yeah. Well, they never used them. We found out they put them in boxes and iced them down instead of using hermetically sealed children's coffins. But that's what the mortician was called twice from the base, and he knew everybody out at the hospital because he had a contract with them as the funeral home. They did ambulance service and funerals for the military guys back then. So he had a airman injured in town in a motorcycle accident. They took him out to the base hospital. When he got out there, he hardly knew anybody. So he went inside and started asking questions. A 6'2" red-headed captain grabbed him by the shoulder, turned him around, said, "Glenn, if you go to town and spreading rumors about the hospital, they'll find your bones out in the desert." That was a pretty heavy threat.
Yeah, absolutely.
Glenn looked at him and said, "You can go to hell." He said, "I'm a civilian. You can't talk to me like that." The captain said, "I'll talk to you any way I want, Glenn. You go to town and spreading rumors, they'll never find you." Now, I spent 2.5 years with Glenn Dennis at the museum. Mm-hmm. I talked to him every day. I also spent 2.5 years at the museum with Walter Hart, that wrote the press release saying we have a flying saucer. I knew Jesse Marcel Jr., whose daddy was the top intelligence officer in the world, the first military guy to go out to the crash site. He came back that night, stopped at the house, and put some of the material on the kitchen table for his wife and son to see. The next day, he went to Fort Worth, Texas, and General Ramey had him posed with a weather balloon. He took the heat for the Roswell incident. When he came back home, he told his family, "What you saw in the kitchen last night was another event. It didn't happen." So he was trying to protect the family. But these were guys who were involved. They were here in 1947. It's not hearsay. And keep in the back of your mind, these were guys from the Atomic Bomb Group.
The Atomic Bomb Group? You mean they're working on the atomic bomb?
I'm sorry?
What do you mean by the Atomic Bomb Group?
These guys belong to the Atomic Bomb Group of a station in Roswell that had dropped the bombs on Japan during the Second World War.
Oh, right. Oh, yeah. The
after they dropped the bombs on Japan, the 509th was located in Roswell. And they were here for a year or two, and then they went to England. And I don't know if you know it or not, but the 509th Atomic Bomb Group has been reactivated. They're activated again. They're the B-2 stealth bomber stationed out of Whiteman Air Base in Missouri. So that elite group is back in existence again.
You know, so over the years we've had a few astronauts actually come out and say that they saw things. Are any of these witnesses who are speaking openly now or have spoken openly, are any of them like top brass or anything like that?
Well, Colonel Blanchard would have been the base commander. He was promoted to a four-star general at the Pentagon, so it didn't hurt his career at all. Both Major Marcel and Marcel's son were majors. They were both promoted to light colonel before they got out. So to keep them quiet and help their retirement, they saw some promotions.
Right.
I met Edgar Mitchell, the astronaut, the sixth man on the moon.
Yeah.
Apollo 14. I had several conversations with him before he died. Brilliant, absolutely brilliant guy. And he grew up just south of Roswell. And I asked him one day, I said, "What do you know about Roswell?" He said, "I can tell you it happened." I said, "How do you know?" He said, "My folks knew the rancher." Mm-hmm. And he said, "I was in the military with enough people that were involved that I can tell you it happened." Now, coming from Dr. Mitchell, I'll take that to the bank.
Yeah. Absolutely.
And like you said, some of the astronauts have talked about stuff that they've seen. A few of them have talked about while they were on the moon, they radioed Houston and said, "We're not alone." Or they radioed and said, "We're being watched." What was watching them?
Yeah, I've caught a couple of those. We're coming up on our next commercial break here. You're listening to The Truth Seeker of Roswell, Dennis Balthizer, here on Radio Wasteland. Don't forget, come on back.
very hard-working person, and he listens to his people.
David Kehoe is one of the most honest public servants that I have ever seen.
As a third-generation U.S. Army veteran, I support Supervisor David Kehoe for re-election because of his unfailing support of our veterans.
The best quality about Dave is that he is so approachable.
You just couldn't ask for a better supervisor than him.
I'm David Kehoe, candidate for Supervisor District 1. I'm firmly committed to a safer community by increasing jail beds and supporting law enforcement. As your supervisor, I have a record of voting for jobs and economic development to help increase revenue for public safety. I will always strive to improve the safety and quality of life for the people of Shasta County. I welcome your support and vote on June 5th.
Paid for by Kehoe for Shasta County Supervisor 2018.
Hi, I'm Dr. Kara Tennant with CARE Animal Hospital, and I'm inviting you to join me on the Carl and Linda Morning Show. We will be discussing all of Reading's local pet needs and how to keep your pet happy, healthy, and safe. CARE Animal Hospital is a local veterinary clinic located on the corner of Hilltop Drive and Lake Boulevard. Make sure your best friend has the best possible care today.
Join Dr. Kara Tennant on Friday morning, May 18th from 8 to 9 on Free Fire Radio here on AM 1460 KCNR.
May is First Responder Month, and KCNR 1460 joins with our community in a salute to law enforcement, fire, and medical personnel.
I want to thank our first responders in Shasta and Tehama County. The lives you save and the property you protect help us enjoy our wonderful Northern California outdoors. This is Jeff Avery, State Farm Insurance Agent, and I want to thank you again for all you do.
To those who run toward danger when the alarm sounds, a heartfelt thank you from your community and Free Fire Media.
Hey, you getting hungry?
Yeah, hungry as a bear.
Oh, yes, the eternal question. What's for lunch?
Fast food?
Nah, I want something that didn't come in a bag.
Someplace fancy.
No, I want a place that has a down-home atmosphere, serves good portions, and has consistently good food.
My friend, you just described Black Bear Diner. They started just up the road in Mount Shasta. They have carried that feeling of home-cooked meals at a great price to more than 100 locations.
They're on Hilltop Drive in Reading. What's that?
It's time to feed the inner bear.
Black Bear Diner.
I'm Dr. Nancy Sutton-Pierce, the host of the Conscious Living Show, every Saturday, 11 to noon, here on KCNR 1460. You'll laugh, cry, and perhaps be shocked by my frank and honest conversations. I often team up with my husband, Dr. Mark Pierce, and no one makes me squirm or giggle quite like he can. We are the yin-yang, east-west of most topics, yet you can always feel the love and respect between us. Visit DrNancySuttonPierce.com to keep this conversation going.
All right, welcome back to Radio Wasteland, and our guest, the Truth Seeker of Roswell, Dennis Balthizer. So, Dennis, I really appreciate when I have guests on that, you know, I got into this because I was skeptical but really interested, and I really enjoy when I have guests on that are really sort of nuts and bolts researchers. You know, they just want to kind of try to put the facts together. Mm-hmm. But you've been doing this for so long and putting so many of these facts together, you know, I can't help but to ask you some speculative questions.
Well,
and that is, do you think that it was a government craft or do you think it was alien?
Well, I think if it was a government craft, we've been in so many conflicts over the years, for the last 70 years, surely we would have used it by now. Because the advantage to the military would be amazing. The maneuverability, things, the speed of them, and things like that that have been reported. I just don't believe it's ours. And I can't prove anything. I don't have a piece of metal. I don't have an alien I can show you. But I put my confidence in these guys that I met that were here, that were involved with it, that were top military people at the time at the Atomic Bomb Group. So the bottom line is something happened in Roswell 70 years ago that's still being covered up. And to me, that's the bottom line. And for me, I want to try to find the truth. I'm 76 years old. I probably won't live long enough to know the truth. I don't look for disclosure in my lifetime because of my age. But I really hope that young people will get the truth one way or the other. And I can go either way. If it turns out not to be aliens, that's fine. I'll go fishing. I don't need this frustration.
Right.
But I think we've been lied to for 70 years.
Well, this you know, prompts the next speculative question, and that is, why do you think they're lying to us about it?
I think it's control. Our government won't admit to anything they can't control. They can't do anything about it. If this has been going on as long as we think, I mean, I've seen tapestries and artwork from the 14th century that the artist put what looks exactly like a UFO in the artwork. You go to the Bible, the book of Ezekiel talks about flying fiery wheels. So I think this has been going on for a long time, and our government won't admit to it. The reason you don't hear much about it from other governments is because the United States gives nearly every country in the world foreign aid. If they start talking, they can pull that foreign aid. So they have a control over this thing. And I think they've lied about Roswell so long, they have themselves in the corner. Back then, panic would have been a real thing. Mm-hmm. You may be familiar with Orson Welles' War of the Worlds.
Of course. I listen to it at least once a year.
People committed suicide over that radio show. They believed it. I don't believe that today. People are more educated today. I don't think panic would be a problem. I think it might be a problem for religions. It might be a problem for the financial world because it would change everything we know. But I really believe that it was extraterrestrial.
So do you think that our government, and once again for our listeners, this is all speculative at this point. You know, I don't want to put any of these beliefs on you because I totally respect your nuts and bolts research.
Go ahead.
But do you think that our government has any involvement with them? Or because you're saying that...
Well, there's been a case where Eisenhower supposedly had a meeting with them out at Murak, which is Edwards Air Force Base today, and made an agreement with them that if they could abduct people, as long as they brought them back where they had found them and they had no memory of it, in exchange for technology. And you look at the technology we developed in the last 50 years, where did that come from? I'm not saying it was E.T., but you have to really wonder, where did we get all that technology so fast? I know the space program has had a lot to do with it, with all the new stuff we have. Our military is probably 20 years ahead of us on the calendar. We don't use anything in our daily life that the military hasn't already used.
Right. Oh, yes, I don't doubt that. So you know, there's a lot of people out there who kind of feel like we're being slowly fed the idea that there's life out there, this sort of concept of slow disclosure.
I think that's true with movies and TV shows. They give you bits and pieces of information. I really don't think they know how to disclose it because they don't. Who in our government is going to admit they've been lying for 70 years? That would be a political disaster to admit that. But I do think if you saw the movie Independence Day, when the president was at Area 51, he said, "How long has this been here?" That's probably a true statement.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, that it's...
I don't believe the presidents are in on it. The president doesn't have the security clearance or the need to know. And if you don't have a need to know, you're not going to find out.
Yeah, what's the word? White ops, when there's nothing to black out?
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. No, I definitely, you know, of all the things that we like to cover on this show, the one thing that I am totally confident about is that somewhere out there, there is life.
Well, I can't be egotistical enough to think we're the only thing in the universe.
Yeah,
there has to be life out there somewhere. And you know, people are surprised I'm a Christian, and I'm Southern Baptist. And I'm of the opinion if you believe God created everything, that's the end of the story. We don't know what's out there.
I agree. I think it's weird that people find science and religion to be so mutually exclusive.
They tie together. If you get down and into it, they really can tie together. The Catholics... The Vatican has probably one of the largest, if not the largest, UFO libraries in the world. It's under lock and key. You can't get in it. They've had an interest in space since the 17th century. They have observatories at the Vatican since then. They own two telescopes I'm aware of, rent a couple. The one at the Vatican was recently moved because light from Rome interfered with it. The other one is out there in Arizona, Mount Graham. That's a high-tech telescope that the Vatican owns.
Hmm.
couple of years ago, one of the Monsignors went public and said he believes life exists out there. So the Catholics are into it.
Yeah, it does seem kind of like a waste of space if God created this whole universe and really just sort of plops some life on this.
Yeah, we're on this little ball of mud and that's all there is. I don't think so.
Yeah, I don't think so either. So we're coming up onto the end of the show here. So can you tell our audience again about your tour and how they can get in touch with you and find out more about you?
Okay, the RoswellUFOTours.com. There's a website, and they got all the information there. My website is TruthSeeker@Roswell.com. That's all one word, TruthSeeker@Roswell.com. I have about 80 editorials that I've written over the years about my research on Roswell, Area 51, underground bases, and I'm on the advisory board of the pyramids of Giza in Egypt. So there's a lot of information there if people are interested in it.
What is that, the advisory board for the pyramids?
Yeah, I was put on that in 2001, mainly high-tech people from all over the world, but they wanted to put me on there in the event that there may be some ET involvement in the building of the pyramids, because I don't personally believe that the three pyramids of Giza or the Sphinx are Egyptian. I think they're much older than that, and we can't find any records on how the pyramids were built. That would be a whole other show.
Yeah. Oh, yes, it would. Yeah. that right there is multiple shows because there is a lot back there. You know, but it's really just quite amazing how Roswell has ingrained itself in our society, and it's really just not going away.
That's right.
And, you know, really the government might as well, you know, fess up to what they know. And, you know, do you find that the private space industry is a threat to any of this?
The private industry? I don't think so.
No, you think that they're bought and paid for?
Well, probably, to a certain point, yeah.
Well, you know, I had a lot of eggs in that basket, hoping that we would find out something from Elon Musk or some of this private industry, but I think you're probably right.
Yeah.
All right. Well,
you've had some good questions. I really appreciate it. This has been a good interview.
Oh, well, I appreciate it, too. And
many times I do interviews, and they have no idea what they're talking about, and this one was good.
Oh, well, this is definitely one of my many hobbies. Well, thank you very much for being on the show. You've been listening to The Truth Seeker of Roswell, Dennis Balthizer, here on Radio Wasteland.
The news is brought to you on KCNR, Shasta, Redding, by Tobacco and Brew. Come see their newly remodeled store.